It's Thursday, 22nd of February, and you're listening to the Grimcast. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cal.
Good evening.
Kayla.
Hello.
Nikki.
Ahoy, hoy.
Puce. Hello. And Catty. I saw his thing light up, but I didn't hear anything come out. Today is a streamcast, and Puce is currently playing Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for anyone who's watching, and for us to ridicule him when he fails to kill things or when he mercilessly skins them alive. Today we'll be covering on the podcast the $100 DLC Airbus causing an air bust up for Flight Simulator X players. Burnout Paradise is getting a remaster. Payday 2 on Switch is an out-of-date version. A Sims 4 modder is making $6,000 per month on Patreon. And Kingdom Come Deliverance not being as historically accurate as they claim. But before we get into that, what have you been doing for the site this past week? Cal?
Hello. Well, I suppose I've been away for a little while, working on my day job, which is really sad. But this week I've had the opportunity to jump in and play some Battalion 1944, a game I was very excited for. And I actually got to check out at Gamescom last year and did the preview. Eagerly waiting for the early access release of it to play on Steam on my own PC. To be disappointed, frustrated, and angry with the fact that the servers weren't working, matchmaking is broken, the game is rather poorly unoptimized, and the community has swiftly died off as a result. And yay! For the past day or so, though, me trying to play it has resulted in multiple errors. Either the Unreal Engine 4 crashing, easy anti-cheat crashing, me then repairing the game, having to then redo all my graphics settings again, and then try and connect to a server, and then just watch the message that says allocating players and waiting. Getting tired, getting bored, quitting the game, and then playing Day of Infamy. So yeah, look forward to my exciting preview.
That's not a good sign for something that's just entered early access.
It feels so early access. I mean, I can't fault the gameplay. The gameplay is really well done. It's proper nostalgia, sort of classic Call of Duty 2 gameplay. So everything is nice and tight and gunplay is fast, but it's if you can get into a game. And if you get into a game, it's either really poorly unbalanced, where the amount of times I would join a match and it would be 5 on one side, 2 on another, or you'll be sat around waiting for ages. And it would say, waiting for players, so everyone's just running around killing each other, and you just get tired of it. And the other issue I have with it is, you think for a game where that's, at the end of a game, you would move on to the next match, or players would stay in the server so they would reload another map or reload the game again. Nope, just ends. Just, you have to sit there, do nothing, and then quit to the main menu and attempt to rematch make. So you're like, this is pointless.
Sounds like the hassle that Psychopath had on... Sorry, Psychopath. It's spelled weirdly. Psychopath had on Hunt Showdown when it first entered a... Well, when it first entered a beta phase. Mm. He was waiting for literally an hour and a half for the first match to match make.
Not as bad as that, but I have waited up to about half an hour, 20 minutes or so.
Oh my.
And even then, it's just allocating you a server slot. Doesn't mean you're grouped up with a load of other players. It's just like...
I think the worst one I had was the beta for the multiplayer section of Final Fantasy XV. It has like a timeout system, so if it can't find anyone in a certain amount of time, you start again. In the beta, it gave me like 99 years or something ridiculous.
Wow.
So you're still waiting.
Sadly.
Okay, Kayla, what have you been up to this week?
Well, on Saturday, me and Nikki went to the PC Gamer Weekender event. We got to hang out with a lot of cool developers, played a lot of games, made a lot of connections. Yeah, it was a really, really sort of awesome trip. So now I've just been spending my time chasing people up, getting codes, and been playing a little bit of Metamorph, Dungeon Creatures, which is really fun, top-down hack and slash, sort of heavily inspired by Diablo and Gauntlet.
Sounds interesting. Gauntlet's always always good for a bit of fun, so that's why people keep mimicking it. Okay, so Nikki, what have you been up to?
Well, following on from PC Gamer Weekender, I've been quite busy sort of catching up on stuff from that. I'm currently playing a number of games under embargo as well, one of which will be going up on the site tomorrow. First thing, so I look forward to that. I don't know if I'm actually allowed to say what it is. You can answer that question for me, though, Ace.
If there's an embargo, you're usually not allowed to say that you are reviewing it.
Well, I didn't say what it was, so all's fine.
Yeah.
Otherwise, not even had time for any Monster Hunter either. It's kind of weird watching the stream and seeing low-res monsters. Monster Hunter World's made everything so gorgeous these days that it's weird.
What do you mean low-res? These are beautiful graphics.
This is Wii U level HD, I'll have you know.
Ah, the Wii U.
Just like an upscale PSP version of the game.
Right, whatever happened to the Wii U?
It's an upscale 3DS port, isn't it?
Puce is the only one who bought it.
Pretty much, yeah.
I've got Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate on my shelf, but again, I didn't play much of that even when I was into it.
No, Will's refined so much of the basic systems and stuff into such a polished form, it's weird going back.
The main thing for me, as dumb as this sounds, is actually just having that second analog stick.
Yeah, that's definitely the best thing about the Wii U port, actually.
Oh, I think he let go of the button.
Yeah, it's better than the 3DS could ever be without the CircuitPad Pro using the second stick on the Wii U.
So, Puce, apart from Monster Hunter on the stream, what have you been doing?
I've been playing Final Fantasy XII for review, the PC port of Zodiac Age, and it's a really solid port. It's still Final Fantasy XII, so if you've never liked Final Fantasy XII at all ever, then it's not going to change your mind on it. But if you've never really given it a go, or you've kind of been intrigued by it, but never had a PS2 at the time, and it's definitely the best way to play it now.
It's the only one I haven't played, because I got rid of my PS2. Although I'm not keen on the price of it. I was looking on Steam when it launched, I went, ooh, Final Fantasy XII's out. And it's like 30-odd quid. I was like, could be easier just to emulate it. But I would like to... I like the 60 FPS, so the fact that they're pushing towards 60 is making me push towards get the PC version at some point.
Yeah, the assets on the PS2 version actually hold up quite well under emulation if you did play it that way, but the good things with the Zodiac Age port is that they really have retouched all the assets in quite a sensitive way. It still looks like Final Fantasy XII, but a lot more modern. It does look appropriate. They've added kind of like graphical effects for when you're in the desert areas, like you've got heat shimmer and stuff, which wasn't in the PS2 original, and things like that. There's lots of little touches that show a bit of love and care and attention.
Mm. I still to this day remember that in the beginning of 12, there's a really easy way to level up, and all it took was throwing a phoenix down at one enemy. And every time I've played 12, I always forget to do that.
Yeah, that's right. There's like a big boss creature off the desert, and you can throw a, like you say, a phoenix down at him and just one hit him.
I was like, with Final Fantasy VIII, you had a 1,000 XP cap, and you could just grind. You just max everybody out on the first disc if you wanted to.
There's a webcomic I saw years and years ago about Final Fantasy Tactics, because when you use an item, the character throws it at the other one. And it's just this character screaming, ow, ow, because they just got a potion thrown at me. Ow, ow. Wait, it's feeling better? It's funnier on the page.
I laughed, I just forgot to hold the button.
Right, Catty, what have you been up to?
What haven't I been up to?
Squishing the corrupted crystal?
Yeah, no, well, that's God, that's a while back. I have I had a little bit of extra money coming to the end of this month, and so I have bought myself a Switch. And I got Mario Odyssey, and I'm about halfway through, and that game is superb.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah, there's the core mechanic. I think the thing I love about it the most is there are the core mechanics, the throwing and the hat and possessing and the standard Mario 3D jumping and stuff. But every world has its own unique thing. Like, every world has its own mechanic that only exists in that world. So it's kind of like Nintendo just couldn't decide what a good mechanic would be, so they've put all of them in this game. And it keeps every level really really fresh. Like, I still feel like I literally am learning new mechanics every time I do something new. And the game, you can progress pretty quickly. I think the longest I've spent on a level is about an hour and a half. And that was New Donk City, because I just wanted to do everything in there.
Yeah, Donk.
Yeah. Past that, I played Tacoma at the weekend, which is from, I think it's from the Gone Home guys. I think that's them. And that's for an article, my top 10 interactive stories, which I will be writing pretty soon. Because right before the pod, I started playing a game called Eevee, and it crashed and wouldn't go in a resolution that was good, and yeah, no, it was a bit of a nightmare. So that won't go on the list. But I might try and write a review for that if I can get it to load again.
It's always a good sign, if I can get it to load again.
I'm not confident.
On the stream, Puce is still battling the same Baroth that he's been battling all stream so far. You're having a bit of issue there, Puce.
He just doesn't like me.
Just enjoying watching you just spin around quite a lot while he's nowhere near you.
Are you using the hammer?
Yeah, it's an early bone hammer.
It's not far in the game.
No, this is about 2 and a bit hours in.
And then he says to me he doesn't have time to play games. Right, for the site myself, I'm still working on getting to a part in Kingdom Come Deliverance where I can make some sort of video about it. And I've started reviewing Planetoid Pioneers, which released last week, I think. I played it while it was in early access and had quite a bit of fun with it. Since release, they've added voices, a bit of a better story, tidied up some of the initial Planetoids areas. So far, so good.
We actually got to have quite a nice long chat with one of the developers for Planetoid Pioneers. And bless him, he was trying very hard, but this time we were quite exhausted. It was getting towards the end of the day, I think. So we were trying to sort of rack our brains to ask questions and stuff, but we were so tired it was really hard to keep focus. But the sheer amount of tools that they've given to the players. Like, it's almost like you could just build the entire game from the ground up with the amount of tools they've given you.
Yeah, there's two versions. There's the main game, and then there's, as you say, all the tools, so you can basically make a brand new game inside the game.
One of the problems he said that they were having was because of the sheer amount of tools and features that are offered in the game, that actually one of their the feedback that they're having is that there's all these features but they're not being implemented into the main game, and that's actually causing them a little bit of trouble and some negative feedback.
Well, you know, gamers, they're never happy.
Yeah, this is true.
However, it was awesome to see the game being played with a player character where every joint was on Arnie's face.
Yeah, it's the thing, you can really customize pretty much everything, and the character models are just 2D sprites layered on top of each other, and you can literally put anything you want on them. And the character model will somehow move still. So I think like his head was Arnie, his body was Arnie, like his arms were Arnie. It was quite bizarre.
Arnie as in Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
I just said Arnie because I can't actually say his full name properly without it coming out wrong. So usually I just call him Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right, from there, let's move on to our first bit of news.
You've still not killed that thing, Pius.
No, it's persistent. At least I've not carted yet. That's one bonus.
Right, there's this Flight Simulator X obviously gets a lot of DLC for new and different planes, and one DLC from Flight Sim Labs released a new version of its Airbus 430. I did have it written down somewhere. Well, one of their Airbus DLCs that costs $100 to download from their site, not available on Steam. They put some malware into it that apparently was only going to affect people who were using a certain specific serial number, but other users were complaining about it, or at least people claiming that they hadn't illegally downloaded the game and used a fake serial number. This malware that they put in, they were describing it as DRM, when it was actually dumping username and passwords that were saved in Chrome to a file that could be read by Flight Sim Labs.
But why would, like, I appreciate DRMing your game and catching out people that are pirating it, but, like, at what point do you just sit there as a company and go, oh, do you know what would be great is if we nick their passwords? Like, what the heck are they going to do with that?
It's at the same time I think you call that file test.exe.
But the weirdest part of it all is they seem to backtrack and start talking about how they were actually trying to target an individual user.
It does seem odd that they would put this out thinking that this one person is definitely going to download it, and they're definitely going to... Well, this test.exe is definitely going to grab their usernames and passwords.
And if that is what they're doing, how fixated must you be on this one person to go to those lengths?
Yeah, if it is a single person they're targeting, that's $100. And that's all they're out, and now they're alienating their entire player base.
I think the idea is that the specific person they're targeting isn't just the pirate, he's the guy who's delivering the files. So that's what they're talking about with checking the specific code. So this guy would be buying the thing legitimately, but then cracking it so it, other people can use it, I think is why they're specifically targeting that one person, from what I've read.
Well, the question is, how many people's usernames and passwords did they get before this was brought up on Reddit?
Fidus InfoSec seemed to think that it should only have been brought up using his code, or their code. Their testing concluded that the password dumping tool is only called when a fraudulent serial is used. So,
the thing that's weird about it, though, is they're trying to crouch criminal activity by performing possibly worse criminal activity.
They've been watching too much CW shows. They're trying to do vigilante on this.
At least they're not trying to hack with two people per keyboard.
That was perfect. That worked exactly how it should have done in CSI.
You mean it didn't?
It did. You know, two people on a keyboard is faster than one, so they bypassed the pipeline, got through, redirected it, did the...
They reversed the polarity of the neutron flow.
Yes.
Create a GUI interface so they could track their hacker.
Something, something netcode.
Sudo, make me a sandwich.
Something, something enhance.
It's that Futurama sketch where he's like, zoom on that death sphere and it enhances, and he's like, why is it still blurry?
Right, our next bit is Burnout Paradise is being remastered and coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on the 16th of March and PC at a later date.
I am so excited.
It's like the worst Burnout to release and remaster. Just disappointment.
No, I really controversial. Enjoyed, I really enjoyed Paradise.
It's not Burnout 3, though.
Burnout exactly. 3 is the best Burnout,
but it is.
Burnout Paradise is the most replayable.
I can appreciate that, because once you've golded everything on Burnout 3, yeah, and Paradise, you've got motorbikes and you can sort of piss about, and the multiplayer is a lot more fun.
And it's just got that open world.
Burnout 3, though.
I can add to this, though, because I've never actually played any of the Burnout games.
It'd be a good introduction for new players, I suppose, and then they'll realise that it's not actually that very good and go out and hunt for the original Burnouts.
Yeah, I would have preferred it to be a Burnout collection of 1, 2 and 3, and maybe Revenge. That would have been a better thing to remaster, I think.
Yeah.
Because to be fair, it's like it's only last gen. It's not like it's been a million years since.
Well, it's 10 years. Burnout Paradise came out 10 years ago.
Don't make me feel old, Catty. It's not 10 years. It's not. It can't be.
The good news is that it's coming with the original soundtrack and no microtransactions.
And is it all 8 of the expansions that came with it?
Indeed.
Yeah, there was loads. There was like a toy car one, there was police one, there was shitloads.
It's quite a lot of game.
With the original soundtrack, that means that you can listen to Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend on repeat.
I'm so excited.
I can sing that in Japanese.
Please don't.
You can?
Does that mean this remaster will be a better version than the one that's currently on PC? Because if I'm right, they had to remove some of the songs?
Yeah, it's all to do with licensing, so that's usually why.
So I wonder if
it's interesting that they've got them back for the remaster, then.
Well, have they? Ooh.
But you just said they
have. They have.
It's EA.
Is that because it's just on PS4?
No, it's multi-platform.
Oh, okay.
Hamilton said in Twitch chat that Burnout Takedown is the best Burnout.
It is.
That is quite a good... Yeah.
That's the third one.
Is that the one where crashing into other people does not take you out?
Yes, yeah. Immediately. You can ram into the front and back of cars in takedown.
Then I agree that is the best one.
Is that the first one that introduced the whole fake out where you drive behind them and they freak out if you get too close?
Burnout takedown. Yeah, burnout free takedown. That was the first one that introduced road rage. That was basically the one where you just how burnout became. You could crash into people, make them go into pillars. You'd get like a signature move when you did certain ones, and you could just go all out. Dominator is the one that you can sort of bash them up the arse and make them crash, and you can ram into the back of vehicles and crash them into other vehicles. Because there was a specific mode that you could do where you could just keep crashing into the back of vehicles and like do slingshots and bounce them up other cars to build up your timer and cash.
For some reason I was thinking the bumping into the back thing was in Takedown, but yeah, it must be Dominator then.
Revenge was the one that came out on Xbox 360, and it was garbage.
I actually got a chance to go to Criterion when I was in uni, like my second year, I think.
Oh.
And it was just awesome. Their office, as you walk in, has just got a car like crashing through the wall, and they just roll tires around everyone, just kind of sit on them, and just chat. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool.
That's pretty
cool. That seems harder than you would benefit.
They also made
more effort.
They also made the only two good Need for Speed games: Hot Pursuit and Most Wanted, the remake.
I mean, the teenager in me is shouting Underground.
Okay, I'll give Underground a pass because that was like on PS2. That was brilliant. But if you're talking like Xbox 360, PS3, Hot Pursuit or Most Wanted.
I just did a quick Google and apparently no songs were removed from Burnout Paradise on PC. So I clearly remembered that wrong.
So I can listen to Avril Lavigne Girlfriend whilst driving into people.
I'm installing it as we speak.
Nice.
What is the PC version going to be, the PC remaster going to be like anyway? Because the PC version still runs and looks really good still.
Yeah, but it's not 4K.
Yeah, and some of those textures are a little bit...
The menus are a bit naff, to be fair, because I played it a little while ago. And it looked really shit on my 4K TV. It was very clean and crisp, but the icons and the menus were really blurred.
I bought it during a Steam sale or something because Catty suggested I buy it. I haven't played it yet.
It's good to know my suggestions kind of work.
Your suggestions made Criterion some money.
At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Wait, what?
Didn't the Criterion almost go under at one point?
I believe some of the team left to create Dangerous Golf and...
Danger Zone!
That's it, Danger Zone.
And they are promising that they're going to do maybe a spiritual successor to actual Burnout, but that probably won't happen.
Yeah, the problem with those two games is that they people liked the blowing up cars and things getting trashed, but yeah, at least with the racing, there's more of a game to it than that.
Yeah, as much as I love the crash mode from the previous versions, it's only so much you can sort of destruction you can sort of have fun with. It's more about, especially the road rage mode. I could just happily just run the road rage mode and just stack it up and get like 30 takedowns and just have fun with it. I've still got a PSP. I bought with Burnout Legends and Burnout Dominator on them. Just, you know, you're on the loo, fancy doing some takedowns.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we just need to take note that you died. Why did you die?
Pierce got carted.
I got carted. So.
And you abandoned the quest. You're no monster hunter.
Well, I thought it would be nice to at least show something else on stream other than a Baroth.
This is true. It's been going on for a while.
I'll face off against something else and fail miserably.
You're a monster coward.
Yeah. More of a monster tickler than anything, really. He's just giving them a little scrub.
He's more of a monster tickler. Protector.
Oh my god.
A monster protector.
Anyway, Payday 2 on Switch, the port has reportedly missing a lot of content because it's update 130 instead of closer to the PC version, which is update 172.
Yeah, but isn't that the same developers who, when they mentioned about the PS4 and Xbox One version, said just go play the PC version? That was literally their answer, like people bitching about how poor it was on console. They were just like, just play the PC version, all right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a PC, go buy one.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's one of those games to actually come to the Switch. I mean, it's a nice idea to, like, you're out on a go and you've got some friends with you, you know, let's do some heists, you know? Just shout out really loud, we're in a mall or something, when he goes, I'm going to rob this place. It's like playing Payday 2 on a Switch, but it's I don't think it's one of those games that works well on the Switch. And would it be the first FPS on the Switch as well?
Doom.
No?
Skyrim.
Oh yeah, Skyrim on the Switch. I forgot about that.
Doom is on the Switch.
Oh, of course, Doom. How could I forget Doom? That's a technical masterpiece.
Yeah, how could you?
Because I think too much of the PC.
Do you work for Overkill Software?
No, I would want to.
Well, it's personally, it's not much of a surprise to me that it's missing content, because Skyrim on the Switch is the regular edition rather than the special edition. Does it even come with any of the DLC?
It does, yeah. It's got the DLC with it, but as far as I'm aware, it's the normal edition, like you say, not special edition, so it hasn't got those graphical updates, as far as I know.
Like, I can't imagine running on the Switch properly. Is it because of, like, the space, the limited space that you've got on the cartridges?
Well, that didn't stop L.A. Noire putting almost the whole game on the Switch.
Because
although that was Rockstar just being cheap, apparently, because there is a cartridge size big enough to fit L.A. Noire on. They just chose to not do that.
Yeah, it kind of throws me off, really, when you see all these, like, old games that fit on a single Xbox 360 disc and they're bitching about, oh, there's not enough disc space. I'm like, what, the Switch cartridge holds, what, 32 gig? Or is it less?
I don't know.
I think it's 32 gig.
Yeah. So there's a lot of all these old games that were originally on Xbox 360, which were one disc, and DVD holds about 8 or 9 gig, and they're bitching about space size. So.
But this reminds me as well of, like, when we got to this generation and it just started. Like, you know, PS4 games are using dual-layered Blu-ray discs, which are like 50 gigabyte size. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some reason, I still have to install 50 gig on my PS4. And even today, like 3-4 years later, I'm still just like, why the fuck do we do this?
Yeah, I got through it. I was around my brothers, and he's got a PS4 now. So he got Modern Warfare Remaster, and because I gave him my copy, and I said, have you seen the size of the game? And he's like, no. And he looks at 80 gig is the size of Modern Warfare. 80 gig is Modern Warfare Remastered. And I was like, what? It's a 10-year-old game. Just
the disc.
Yeah.
The disc is, at this point, is just acting as DRM. It's making sure that you still own it.
It is, yeah.
But the thing is, as well, is, like, apart from, you know, the remaster of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, like, every game, as far as I'm concerned, if it's got a ridiculous install size, it's either, A, got, like, really good compression on the disc, you know, like Final Fantasy 15, you know, with everything installed, that's nearly 100 gig, and you're like, okay, well, there's a lot of content here. But in the case of the Call of Duty games, I can't help but just look at them and just kind of selfishly just think, are they just really bad compressing? Like, when we got to this generation, people just go, we won't bother with compression. Like,
I think that's
where
the
are
answer.
We?
They're like, because they've all switched over to Blu-ray discs, and obviously everyone, like most people, have got connected to the internet to get patches and downloads. it's just like, ah, fuck it. Just stick a 30 gig download on top of it. Make them install the game. You know, so it runs off the hard drive and not the disc. Yay! Welcome to this generation. It's like people bitching about Kingdom Come Deliverance when that first came out. A 23 gig day one patch. This is what they do these days.
People were literally bitching about that before the podcast.
I forget what the reasoning behind that was, but it apparently that there were too many files changed to be able to do a smaller patch, apparently.
To bring this back to Payday 2 quickly, I do wonder how much of... Is it the update we're getting... Sorry, the version we're getting is update 130, which is from February last year, so a year ago. I don't know how long it takes to do a port, but a year sounds like a pretty good stretch of time. So I wonder how much of that is just they wanted to make this thing work. Because I don't imagine... I've forgotten the name of the developers of Payday 2.
Overkill.
Overkill. I don't imagine Overkill had really anything to do with this port. I imagine they just sent off a file to... Because it's the same thing with... there's another game coming out on the Switch from Mike Bithell, Subsurface Circular. He has nothing to do with that port apart from making the original game. He just sent it off to another studio to port it over. So I imagine the same thing's happened here. They've just sent across a version. And just because of the nature of they keep adding stuff to Payday 2, it's going to get further and further behind.
Yeah. I mean, developers usually, like Blue Point Games, for example, they're like one of the top dogs when it comes to re-engineering and remastering titles for new consoles. So they do palm it off to other developers, but then you get some really shitty companies that don't really know what they're doing.
Galaxy, Batman, Arkham Knight.
Oh, God, yeah. Sometimes they do a poor job. I mean, look at the Silent Hill collection as well, when that came out. It's like, and that was done, I think that was done by a company owned by Konami. And it's like, oh, we couldn't use the original code because it was lost, so we had to use beta code. It's like, well, Blue Point have no issue because they take the original game code from a retail disc and re-engineer it.
Let's also not, you know, let's not forget about the first Kingdom Hearts where they actually lost the original source files.
That's
they just
true.
Went, fuck it, we'll just rebuild it from the ground up.
And yeah.
It's apart from, like, I think one tiny bit of physics, it's like, it's perfect.
Hmm, exactly. So it's when it's in the right hands, but... I think because the wide success of the Switch, because nobody's expected the Switch to be so successful as it is today, so every developer's like going and go, holy shit, we can make something quickly. You know, we can chuck something on it because people will love it because they can take it on the go.
Are you talking about 10 tons here?
No, what?
They've released their entire back catalogue already.
Oh, right. No, I'm not a Switch owner, but I would like one, to be honest with you.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, it's a really good piece of kit.
I was sat in bed yesterday playing the Pokken demo and realized I'm playing a fighting game in bed. this is the life.
That's why I can't get it, because I won't get out of bed.
Right, from a console that'll cost you £6,000 to a modder making $6,000 a month through Patreon because he added drug use to The Sims 4.
Oh, everybody's most wanted mod, just to replicate real life.
Yeah, basically...
I mean, that is Sims.
Basically, you can add a new Sim to your... with this mod, you can add a new Sim to your neighbourhood who becomes a drug dealer, and you can buy drugs from them and take these drugs. It has a real effect on your Sim. There's ups and downs. There's fatal and non-fatal overdoses and addictions. And if used with the Wicked Whims comprehensive sex mod, you can exchange sex for drugs.
Fantastic. So it's basically one of those games. You know how people play Sims to do their own little devious experiments? You could sort of make your own little Sim world with your friends and say, who's going to die first of a drug overdose? Let's watch.
Yeah, is this a case of real life art imitating real life a bit too closely, or do we need more realism?
I suppose a better question is, you know, would you pay for naked mods in Skyrim? Because people do.
That's the thing. People aren't paying for this mod. They're just backing him on Patreon, and he's making these mods.
Oh, okay.
Can we actually just appreciate this guy who's only released his first name, so we should call him Philip. He literally only downloaded The Sims 4 just to make a virtual model of his kitchen. So, but discovered he couldn't do that, so started modding the game.
Yeah, why not?
So, he'd stumbled upon some drug-related custom content, and then thought, actually, this is a bit shit, I can do this better. It's basically the TLDR of that paragraph.
Yeah, he downloaded a cocaine mod. It added a line of cocaine that you couldn't use, so he thought, right, well, let's find a way to use that.
Oh. Is it a bad thing that he's making this amount of money for a Patreon for a simple mod? Is there something EA could about it? Because it is still technically their intellectual property.
But he's just a modder. He's not doing anything that's not allowed.
But he's profiting from it.
Yes, but it's on Patreon. People aren't paying for these mods. They're paying to
you're
support
paying for
him.
His services. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose you could put any bullshit on Patreon and people could donate you for it.
Patreon's a very good way for honest people to make some money. Let's not set fire to any Patreon hopes that Game Rin may have in the future.
What about GoFundMe and people asking for people to pay their medical bills?
I think the best one is still that person that was like, I want to make a potato salad, and they raised so much money that they now host potato salad convention.
Yeah, on Kickstarter, yeah. He made like 50
grand. I mean,
that
had quite a happy ending though, didn't it? And he did something nice for that.
It was a sweet story in the end.
Also, there were drugs in the potato salad.
Sorry, you've just gone underwater. I didn't know you could do that.
Monster Hunter 3 is the only Monster Hunter that had underwater combat. They removed it in 4 and beyond.
Where's your oxygen bar? Oh, I see it.
Top left. It basically lasts forever, though, to be honest. You're under no threat of drowning.
Does it do it
well?
What
were you going to do when the monster dived into the water?
The water combat is actually pretty good. Some weapons are better than others. Sword and shield's awful, but the longer range weapons especially are quite good. It's weird because there was another third generation Monster Hunter that never came out in the West that was PSP only. But oddly, that one removed the water combat. So it's only the ones that were on the 3DS and the Wii U that had it.
Interesting. From that bit of history to Kingdom Come Deliverance is apparently not as historically accurate as they claim.
Does thou even hoist?
Doesn't surprise me if it's not historically accurate.
Yes, but why are you there? People have been researching and looking into things and complaining that there's not enough ethnic diversity and the helmets are wrong and... Katty, you've been looking into this a bit, haven't you?
Isn't the head of the studio like a racist or something like that? People brought that up a lot.
Yeah, ignoring the politics on it, which is not... Actually, this is sort of a part of the politics thing, because all throughout the development, and particularly around the launch, people from the studio and people... just coming in to defend games, as the internet wants to do, basically shooed away any complaints that anyone has had about Kingdom Come Deliverance with, oh, but it's historically accurate. So people who are smarter than me have started to just pick it apart for the reason of, but it's not historically accurate, so that defense doesn't really work. And so there's this fantastic... post on Reddit r/badhistory, which is picking apart the armor of Kingdom Come Deliverance by Mr. Polo 13. And it's a long post, but he basically breaks down, just from screenshots, why most of the armor in the game doesn't work. It's either from wrong parts of the world or the designs don't make sense. It's an exceptionally interesting piece, but I won't. It's difficult to translate it all to a podcast form because it's very reliant on the images. But he's not the only one. There was in the Eurogamer review, which was very politically charged. They spoke to a historian who said most of what they've said about the history of that era doesn't seem to match up with what I know. And there's murmurs on both sides, but it just seems a bit strange that their defence is so easily picked apart with so little to go off of.
See, with the visuals and like the arm and such, it must be really difficult to get it spot on, and trying to get like where do you get the reference images for that? Like how do you know that this is like exactly this era of armor, and then remake it perfectly to work in a game? You know, where you've got to worry about clipping and, you know, animation and everything with it. Like, I feel there needs to be a little bit of leeway with that.
This has to be. I mean, I watched some of the developer diaries, and they were talking about mostly the historical accuracy of the weapons and armor, and like how they react to certain weapons and things like that. But yeah, there has to be some leeway because it is a game after all.
Absolutely, and you know, there must be tons of different ways, like a certain sword was used or something, but to be able to make all those animations for it as well, and then to also demonstrate a clear picture to the player of, oh, he's going to do this attack now, you know, you need to be able to read telegraphs quite easy. You can't learn all of these different attacks and stuff when essentially you're fighting the same guy, I guess.
Yeah, this was over 600 years ago, so it's not like a lot of people kept written records, because not a lot of people could write.
The interesting thing about that, firstly, Kingdom Come Deliverance is awful for clipping. There's a really fantastic image of a guy crouching behind a rock with holding his sword up above his head, but it's just clipping straight through his face.
Yeah, that's the joy of the Cry Engine for you.
Indeed. But for going to the historical accuracy, games set in Bohemia, which is vaguely where modern-day Czechia is, they keep changing their name. I went to Prague a few months ago. They have, in the castle there, huge amounts of armour that is okay, the show armour from the day, but it's very close to what they actually used in there. And there's so many different examples from basically the entire run of history from that part of the world. So I'm not expecting them to make them to be exactly 100% accurate, because that's completely unreasonable. But they can't then shoo away other parts of history because it's not historically accurate if the rest of their game isn't equally so. It's just pedants fighting pedants.
I'm kind of surprised it's in CryEngine.
Why is that?
Because, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, CryEngine, though an impressive engine, is not, from what I know of developers, is not the easiest to work with.
No, it's not.
And definitely not been used as much as it has been. So I wouldn't say it's dead, but it's definitely very selective these days.
People do seem to prefer Unity, yeah.
The developers have sort of favoured Unity or the Unreal Engine these days. Crytek did the big thing a couple of years ago where they tried to copy Unreal and try and make it really cheap and work with. But it's one of those engines, because it's very complex to work with, because I've played around with it. When I had Crysis, I was trying to mess around with the modding tools, and it's just an arse ache to use. But yeah, it's also very demanding. So demanding, it really is.
The other problem is Unity is used on game development courses and coding courses. Unreal, Epic have got a pretty good thing going on. They've
got a massive community support for that.
But they're also in schools, so people are learning to use those engines, and Crytek are doing nothing in the same regards. So CryEngine doesn't get the same support, it doesn't get the same user base.
It's one of those engines, when it's in the hands of Crytek and they're making something like Hunt, for example, that probably looks far superior than a lot of games and probably runs rather well optimized because it's done by Crytek. And then you've got it in the hands of other developers, like the guys who made the Sniper Ghost Warrior games, and it looks utter shit. Maybe it's a Europe thing, because a lot of European developers use the Crytek engine.
That's an interesting point. Perhaps they feel they have to, whatever grants are given rely on having to use it.
Possibly, because Crytek are German, I think. Are they German?
Yeah, they're German.
Yeah.
Founded by Turks.
Hmm.
And with that, we have run out of things to talk to and time.
You're getting your ass kicked, Pius.
Yes.
Do you mean talk about? Because you said talk to.
Did I?
Personality day.
There you go, I'll edit that in.
Just make Nikki look very stupid.
Herp a derp a derp.
Stop adding fuel to the fire.
Also, sorry, I know you were just closing up, but very quickly, I just looked at the CryEngine website, and the website still says that it's the complete game development solution for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC.
Oh my.
Oh, brilliant. That's not so good.
That's a little bit out of date.
And on that bombshell.
Thank you for joining me, Cal, Kayla, Nikki, Puce, and Catty. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Grincast. Follow GameGrin on Facebook and Twitter. Just Google for GameGrin and you'll find us all over the place. Make sure to tune in to Twitch at 8 p.m. onwards for our daily stream, GMT. And while you're at it, game on.